Before we turn to the message, just a reminder that this month of November, we do want to take time to emphasize the importance of prayer and praying together. In the midst of everything going on in our culture and all the voices around what it's all about, there's really one voice that matters. One way through that matters, and that's God. And so in November, we're taking time to focus. This past week, if you've been following in our devotional guide, this right relationship with God, who is He? God, would you deepen that? Today at 2 o'clock, you're invited. If you just go to our website at the banner there, you can click on a prayer time we'll have together at 2. Praying into the character of God and that He would deepen in our lives a deeper knowledge and a confidence in His character. And then this coming week in our devotional guide, we'll be looking at what it means to be in right relationship with one another and praying about that. The following week, right relationship with our neighbor. And then the final week, just taking prayers of Scripture and praying them for our congregation. That God would deepen us in the vision, the mission He has for us, to be in right relationship with Him, with each other, and with our neighbors, our world, for His sake and His glory. So join us in prayer. I encourage you to pick up a devotional guide. This week, you can subscribe online. You can do that through the website. Follow along, and let's just continue as a congregation to say, God, Your way, Your goodness, Your plan. That's what we want. And let's lean into that together in prayer. How do you respond to challenges? How do you respond to challenges? I think it has a lot to do with your perspective. How I respond to challenges has a lot to do with my perspective at a given time. Friday, I was on a Zoom meeting. And a friend of mine talked about a little analogy he had heard. Used a coin. He didn't have one, but I've got one now. And he said, take a coin. If it represents the challenge, if I put it right here against my glasses, you know what I see? The challenge. That's it. And frankly, I want to do whatever I can to get this challenge out of here. Whether if what I do is the right thing or not. But let's say I take the same challenge and I change perspective. Boy, suddenly I see a lot. And the challenge gets right-sized. And especially if I remember that God is above the challenge. Not freaked out by it. Not frustrated by it. Not painted into a corner by it. God on the throne. How do we respond to challenges? Seems there's quite a few these days, right? The big one, we hardly want to listen to the news. It just seems COVID numbers rising, and there's kind of a new anxiety and fear about that. It's really easy. That's all we see. But even way beyond COVID, relational challenges, where all I see is this relationship thing that's so uncomfortable, and I just want to fix it, whether I avoid it, whether I lash out against it. What's God's will? A lot of times it's ethical challenges, where life gets complicated. It just seems the easiest way out is to shade the truth, to compromise, to fit in. We choose the quick way or remember a bigger picture. We live in a world of contentment challenges where our consumeristic world and Christmas is coming early. We're saying, you just buy and everything will be okay. Oh, I need to buy it. Whether I can afford it or I really will need it past the day I buy it or not. Then I could go on. How do we respond to all these challenges and these decisions. It was very timely that my friend talked about the coin, because we're looking in a story in the Bible today where one of the kings of Israel could not see beyond the coin. And it led to a great deal of trouble, because all he could see was just get out of this and not look deep inside at why he wasn't even looking to God. You see, when we move the coin away, we see a bigger picture, and we see God, and we see him doing deeper things. And he takes us beyond the short term, beneath the Band-Aid and the surface, to what's really going on. And as we're working through Isaiah today, we come to a story that takes us beyond the short term, beneath the Band-Aid. It comes in Isaiah 7. I'm going to have to give you a little bit of background here, because there's a lot of names and a lot of places and a lot of history, and it can kind of get, whoa. So, the year is about 735, 734 B.C. There's a new big superpower, Assyria. And they're up north, the Assyrians. Now, Judah, which is where we're going to spend our time here, Judah is the southern kingdom of Israel. Ahaz is a king, and he's not a very godly king, not at all. Between the superpower and Judah, there's the country of Syria, also called Aram, capital Damascus. Then you have the northern kingdom of Israel, okay? Big superpower wanting to take over Syria, northern kingdom of Israel, also called Ephraim, Judah. That's the context. All right, let's read. Isaiah 7, verse 1. When Ahaz, son of Jotham, the son of Uzziah, was king of Judah, King Rezin of Aram and Pekah, son of Remaliah, king of Israel, marched up against Jerusalem, which is in Judah, the southern kingdom, but they could not overpower it. Now the house of David, okay, this would be Ahaz, the king, was told, Aram has allied itself with Ephraim, so the hearts of Ahaz and his people were shaken as the trees of the forest are shaken by the wind. Okay, superpower. These two nations in between get together and say, let's get Jerusalem, let's get Judah, let's get the southern kingdom on our side, let's put our own king there. Then we're going to be stronger against Assyria. That's what's going on. And Judah's freaking out. King Ahaz in Jerusalem and Judah is going, oh no! All I see is huge trouble. So God sends Isaiah to move the coin back. Verse 3. Then the Lord said to Isaiah, go out, you and your son, Shear Yashub. It's so funny. Everyone talks about biblical names. You ever heard Shear Yashub? Zerubbabel. Anyway, so the hearts of Ahaz and his people were shaken. Oh, wrong verse. Shear Yashub, to meet Ahaz at the end of the aqueduct at the upper pool on the road to the launderer's field. Say to him, be careful, keep calm, don't be afraid, don't lose heart because of these two smoldering stubs of firewood. Okay. All that Ahaz can see is trouble. God sends Isaiah, pulls back the coin and says, those two nations that you're so uptight about, they're like the burnt out sticks at the end of a fire. Trust me. I'll make a way. But Ahaz can't move the coin. The bigger picture as we look into 2 Kings and 2 Chronicles is that Ahaz has made up his mind that he's going to do an end run. I'm going to get out of this, so I'm going to myself go up to the king of Assyria. And I'm going to pay him some money, and I'm going to make myself faithful to him, and he'll take care of those two for me. That's what he had in mind. Now, God knew that when he sent Isaiah. So we come to this interesting part in verse 10. Again, the Lord said to Ahaz, ask the Lord your God for a sign, whether in the deepest depths or the highest heights. It's like God is saying, I'm going to give you a chance here, Ahaz. You ask me for whatever sign that I'm going to come through for you, and I'll do it so that you don't align with Assyria. Verse 12, but Ahaz said, I'm not going to ask. I'm not going to put the Lord to the test. Well, that's a bunch of pious talk. He's already made up his mind. Then Isaiah said, hear now, you house of David, is it not enough to try the patience of humans? Will you also try the patience of my God? You're not going to ask for a sign? Let me give you one. Therefore, the Lord himself will give you a sign. Verse 14, the virgin will conceive and give birth to a son, and you will call him Emmanuel. We heard that before? God with us. Isaiah is saying, Ahaz, you won't let the coin go. You're not going to see the bigger picture. But here's the bigger picture. God is with you, and it's going to come to you by the birth of a son, Emmanuel, God with us. Now, what's interesting here, we're going to see this morning that there's really two levels of fulfillment. There's one in Isaiah and Ahaz's lifetime, and we'll talk about that. But we all know the ultimate fulfillment, the ultimate way God has made, the ultimate moving back of the coin is in the sending of his son Jesus. So we're going to look at these two fulfillments because each of us helps us to focus beyond the coin, beyond the challenge, whatever it is, to see what is up to. Each fulfillment calls us to a different perspective on the response. All right? God is with us. So today, let's jump into this. Because God is with us, the first thing that's true is this. He's with us to lead us beyond the short-term fix. He's with us to lead us beyond our knee-jerk reaction, our anxious response. He's with us to lead us beyond the short-term fix. Henry Cloud is a psychologist guy who does a lot of consulting from a Christian perspective. And he's a great communicator, and he uses the kinds of analogies that we can get. One of them, when he talks to people needing to make a decision, he says, play the movie. He says, play the movie. I've got a quote in the front of your program where he says, whatever's happening to you now, remember, it's just one scene in the movie. However you respond to it is going to create those next scenes. So before you respond, play the movie. Let me give you an example. Here's a scene in a movie. Someone's playing out in field in a baseball game. Ball gets hit. Line drive right past him. And it's a community area. So it goes over the curb and onto the street. And as the scene backs out, you see a car coming. Okay, now the next two scenes could go one of two ways. Play the movie. In the first scene, our fielder, all he can see is the ball, the immediate. And without thinking beyond, I'm just going to make this happen for me now, he runs out and he gets the ball. Play the movie. Bang. In the other scene, our fielder goes, okay, this is a game. There's a ball in the road. Maybe before I run out, I should actually back up and take a look at what's going on. Oh, there's a car coming. I think I'll wait. Car comes, goes, then he goes and gets a ball. It would have been a home run anyway. But life is good because he's played the movie. It's fascinating when we come here. Isaiah is trying to get Ahaz to play the movie. Ahaz just won't. But if we pick up the story, verses 7 to 9, here's what we read. This is what the Sovereign Lord says. it will not take place. What's he talking about? Aram, Syria, and Israel ultimately taking over Jerusalem. That's not going to happen. For the head of Aram is Damascus, and the head of Damascus is only Rezin. Within 65 years, Ephraim will be too shattered to be a people. And indeed, within 65 years, not only had Israel been defeated, but its people had been deported, at least a lot of them, and then they'd brought people from Assyria down to intermarry, and that's where you get the Samaritans from. The head of Ephraim is Syria. The head of Samaria is only Remaliah's son. If you don't stand firm in your faith, you're not going to stand at all. Okay, he's saying everything that you're worried about and trying to stop by doing the wrong thing and going to your enemy and not turning to God, God's got it. But now play the movie. What do you think is going to happen? The north is coming south. You think by going up there, you're not next? God is saying, turn to me, I'll protect you. But if you turn away from me to your enemy is going to overtake you. That's the meaning of the sign. Verse 14, therefore the Lord himself will give you a sign. A virgin will conceive and give birth to a son and will call him Emmanuel. Now, here's the first fulfillment. He'll be eating curds and honey when he knows enough to reject the wrong and choose the right. For before the boy knows enough to reject the wrong and choose the right, the land of the two kings you dread will be laid waste. That's why we know there's a first fulfillment, because these two lands fell within 12 years. Before you know to reject the wrong and choose the right, that's kind of the age of 12. In that context. So this is 735, 734. 732, the country of Syria falls. 722, the northern kingdom of Israel falls. And it's like God is saying, the young woman, the virgin will conceive. And in this first fulfillment, the word is such that it can be simply a young woman who has not yet had sexual relations. And one of the beliefs is that Isaiah himself had lost his first wife, took this young woman to be his wife, a son is born. And by the time he's 12, everything that looked so big to Ahaz was taken care of. But now play the movie. Instead of turning to God, you've turned to your enemy. Play the movie. That's the next verse. Verse 17. The Lord will bring on you and on your people and on your house of your father a time unlike any since Ephraim broke away from Judah. He will bring the king of Assyria. Play the movie. You're choosing your way out of the issue, your short-term fix. And it's a fix opposed to God's way. And you're going to bear the negative consequences of choosing to go your way instead of God's way. Ahaz's son, Hezekiah, will have to face a time in which the armies of Assyria have taken almost all of the land of Judah and are now surrounding Jerusalem. His son Hezekiah finally turns to God, and God defeats that army. But essentially, this passage says, if you don't turn to God who is with you and choose your own way to get out of your issues, there's going to be consequences. Instead of the life and the protection of God's purposes that lead toward peace and joy, it's going to be stress and anxiety and chaos and further hurt. Get to the New Testament. Jesus, who came as God with us, talks about being the good shepherd. And he says, it's the thief who comes to steal, kill, and destroy. I've come that you might have life. God is a good shepherd, the good shepherd. All my life you have been faithful. So along comes COVID. we can look for all kinds of short-term ways in our stress, our anxiety, our frustration, our anger, to kind of take control. Or we can say, God, you've got the long-term picture. I'm not sure what it is. But what does it look like faithfully right now to love you, to love others in the community so we're not in this alone, and to love our neighbor as you would have us love our neighbor, and work toward this thing ending and walk with those who hurt in the midst of it? Far different question. Instead of a short term, I want out of it. I'll just listen to the next thing on the internet. Take matters into my own hands. God, what does it look like to follow you in the big picture? To love you, to love one another, to love our neighbor. There's so many other applications. Relational issues hit. Take this into my own hands. I want to get even. And God comes along and says, look at the big picture. Forgive. Oh, no. And then we end up all bitter and resentful. And it paints all of our relationships a mess. Resentment is a short-term and a dangerous way out. Not God's way. What about those ethical issues? If I just shade the truth, and we're going to end up in the anxiety of a web of lies, and what is true? If I just keep buying what I think I'm going to need, and that's going to bolster my identity, and people will think of me, and I'll be content, and then the MasterCard bill comes. We're in a big hole. And all of these good things we hear God is doing in the world that we'd like to support ain't happening for me. No money. Or sometimes I wonder, even the huge challenge in the world where we just go, it's so much, I'm just going to look at my own stuff. And God says, look at the big picture, because you know what? I got a place for you to get involved. Just lean into me, and I can give you the purpose and the significance of being my heart and my hands and my feet in this messed up world. What are your challenges? Are you looking to get out your own way? Saying, God, what's your way? This is, to me, what's important, we pray. Say, God, what does it look like to love you in this time? To know you more in this time? Deepen us in you. What does it look like to love one another? Deepen us. And that, God, what does it look like to love our neighbor? Guide us. Use us in your spirit. Okay, God with us leads us beyond the short-term fix. But then we get to the next fulfillment, and that is this. God with us also moves us beneath the band-aids, beneath the surface, because often the challenges are there for God to do a deeper work. Now, I am not much into first aid, but I know you don't treat a sliver with a band-aid. I used to wish you did. I remember when I was young, and I'd have a sliver, and along would come Mom with a needle or tweezers or both. And then a bottle of hydrogen peroxide. And you know how your memory kind of changes now? I put hydrogen peroxide. It actually kind of feels good. Back then, oh, it was like a volcano erupting, and it hurt, right? No tweezers. None of that stuff you pour on. Just cover it. It'll go away. If you don't get out the sliver, you get infection. And it gets worse. What's fascinating here, we see in this story, again, we read in verse 12, God has said, ask for a sign. I'm giving you another chance to move the coin, Ahaz. Ahaz said, I will not ask. I'll not put the Lord to the test. He's taking a verse out of context, pious words to cover a heart that is already determined it's going to do its own way instead of God's. It's a heart of independence. It's a heart of pride. It's a heart of deceit. It's a heart of hypocrisy. And there's no way Ahaz is going to look there. He's going to say the right thing, cover up. This challenge isn't going to change me. In our challenges, God wants to change us. And so he came to live among us. A virgin will conceive and give birth to a son. And we turn to Matthew chapter 1 and we find out ultimately who fulfills this and is with us in a way we couldn't imagine. Verse 22, all this took place to fulfill what the Lord had said to the prophet. All what? God entering the womb of a young woman so that he could now become one of us and be with us in a very profound way. All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had said. The virgin will conceive and give birth to a son, and they'll call him Emmanuel, God with us, because that alone is the answer to what's going on beneath the surface. The only way out from what's going on beneath the surface is God becoming one of us, identifying with us, so he could die on a cross for all of that independence and pride and rebellion and sin. And then, as the risen Christ, invite us into relationship with him where we can be forgiven and he can start to change us from the inside out. Challenges are part of that, where God wants to take us beneath the surface. The book of Romans is fascinating. The first 9 chapters talk about what I've just said. God becoming one of us. Jesus, Son of God, dying on a cross that we could be forgiven. God's Spirit coming in us. As a result, how can we live? Romans 12:2. Do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you'll be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. He's saying, do you want to know how to live with a coin? Not right here, but God actually doing neat and deep stuff, transforming you? Don't be conformed to the world. This week, on Thursday, our denomination had kind of a Zoom call meeting thing with anyone who wanted to talk about partly our response. And our speaker talked about how we live in a time when systems are breaking down everywhere. And he said, we need to pay attention. Actually, it wasn't that call. It's a book I'm reading. A guy named Zach Eswine. Same kind of thought. Because that guy said, the systems are breaking down. We got to do it God's way. Zach Eswine comes along in this book I'm reading. And he says, we have to take note of where we've been mentored by our culture. Ahaz has been incredibly mentored by culture. Where to overcome all the security in him, he wants to take control. He wants to do things his way. He's bought into the lie that he's kind of better than God and knows what's better for Judah than God does. Romans 12:2 says, don't be conformed to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. The language is such that it's like there's two mentors up there. Or maybe make it two spigots of water. One of them is of the world, and it's pretty dark and polluted. And it's not going to call us to look at deeper character. But then there's God's Spirit and pure water. And he's saying, you have a choice now as followers of Jesus. Because Jesus died on a cross and forgave you, day by day, you can come under this spigot. Out of the mentoring that culture has given you, you can come under the mentoring of the Spirit of God, and he can start to change you inside because God is with you. So COVID hits, and the anxiety and the stress and the wondering. And part of it is leaning into God and saying, God, what are you wanting to do deep inside of me? This is messing with my control and my priorities. God, as a church, it's messing with the way we've done things. Might you be showing us how to do things differently, more effectively? God, what are you doing? What's the deeper work you want to do? Relational stuff hits. God, how can I forgive? That person hurt me so much. And the mentoring of the Spirit comes and says, how much have I forgiven you so that you can walk in freedom? Can't you just extend what I've extended to you and you'll live in that freedom? God, it's so overwhelming. I feel like such a failure. And the world comes along and says, so try harder. God comes along and says, know how much you're loved. Know that I am with you. Know that you're not alone. We have these ethical dilemmas. God, if I just tell a lie here, God, everyone in the world says it's okay. Why is sex reserved for marriage? I feel so all alone. And we come along and God says, can you trust me to do what's right and know the path of peace and joy and ultimate health and relationship is going to come from that? Something deep inside you is thinking it's up to you to fix something instead of follow me and let me take care of everything around you. Let me do the deeper work of trust, so that you can follow me from the inside out. See how that works? Ahaz did not want to look at the big picture, and he certainly didn't want to look inside. But God says, I have come to be with you, to show you the big picture, and lead you as you lean into me. And to lovingly take you deeper into the places of your heart if you just surrender them. And be honest with me. And get honest with others in community. And instead of us living here and it's stress and it's anxiety and it's trying to take control, the challenge gets right-sized and God gets once again properly sized. We live in the growing and continuing wholeness of knowing God is with us. Let's pray. Father, thank you that we don't have to put on our shoulders this burden of fixing everything. Instead, God, we can release because you are with us. We can trust because you are with us. God, I thank you so much for the second fulfillment of that prophecy. That we're not alone. When we leave this sanctuary, we're not alone. You are with us to do a deeper work, to guide us in our response. No matter what happens, you are with us. But you call us to your spigot, the river of grace, the river of truth, the river of your presence. So God, however we're handling that challenge today with the coin, just blocking you, I pray by your Spirit now we can let go and say, God, I'm coming. I'm coming to your river, your goodness, your grace, your love, your truth. I'm bringing my anxiety. I'm bringing my fear. I'm bringing this dilemma. I'm bringing this choice. I'm bringing my confusion, and I just need you to guide me. God, remove the coin, that I might see you clearly. I pray in Jesus' name.